God bring America back to you. Dr. Arthur Hauch, we welcome you. We're looking forward to the ministry both this morning and this evening. Come touch our hearts with God's word.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I'm thrilled by the music here today. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Psalm 100, verse number 2. Now, many of our family are here, and of course what brings us here into this area again is the family reunion. And so we have all the smaller children. We have 12 grandchildren, my wife and I, and all the younger ones are here. Of course, we have some that are married, and they did not come. But we're having a grand time together with the family and many remembrances as well. And then I'm thinking of the scriptures. We quoted several of them over in the Sunday school. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I have a ministry, among other things, of course, as Pastor said, we pastor in Colorado. But for many years, since the early 1950s, I've written letters to the editor of the paper. And where I am right now, why, they do better than any place I've ever lived. They print everything. They print all the scripture verses. They don't leave out any paragraphs. They don't even change any words. And so we have one of these for you at the close. My wife will give you one of these letters. And I'm trying to get other pastors to do this also. You know, the price is right, Pastor. It's free. And they have so many other things in the paper, they might as well print the truth about God's Word and our present situation in the United States of America. It's a joy to be with you here and be with your good pastor, Anderson, again. Through the years, I've preached in hundreds of churches and dealt with hundreds and hundreds of pastors. But your pastor's one of the finest, most gracious men that I've ever dealt with in all my life. I suggest you keep him for another 55 years as pastor. And I don't say that every place I go either. That's just the truth. And he's an example of what Christ is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, turn to the book of Job here this morning, and we'll be largely in this book together. The book of Job. And we find very simple before and during and after 3 points as we look at the book of Job. Now, in addition to pastoring there, why I serve as a chaplain in the Colorado State Highway Patrol, I also am a chaplain in the Moffitt County Jail System, and we preach each week a service for the women and a service for the men in the jail in Craig, Colorado. Where I live, the town is so small, we don't even have a jail. So we have to go 17 miles to the jail there. Appreciate your prayers. The book of Job, now before, and then during, and then after. All right, let's look at verse number 1 here. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. In other words, Job was pretty good to start out with. Oh, he wasn't sinlessly perfect, but perfect means complete here. You'll find in another place in the Bible, he does say that he has sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Job was pretty good, and Job loved the Lord. And we find he gave sacrifices unto the Lord. And they did that in the old days, in the Old Testament, as you know. Every time an animal was killed and blood was shed, it pointed forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked forward to His coming. We look backward about 2,000 years. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is finished." The work necessary for your salvation was finished by Jesus when He died on the cross. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, we read in the book of 1 John. Well, Job was very, very wealthy and rich. Notice here in verse 3, his substance was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that the man was the greatest of all the men in the East. He was prosperous. God had greatly blessed him, and he is a spiritual giant at this particular time, Job, as he looked forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world, as you know, to seek and to save that which was lost. And he died the just one, for we are unjust, that he might bring us to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As a matter of fact, Job was in such a good state that the devil took notice of that. And you really live for the Lord, the devil take notice of that too. And he comes like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes he disguises himself as an angel of light. He'll preach sermons this morning all over Southern California. Yeah, you do the best you can and you work real hard. Perhaps someday, maybe, you might get to heaven. Do good works. Well, that's not the message of the Bible. The Bible says, by grace ye are saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But after you get saved, you work for the Lord because you love the Lord. Ye are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that ye should walk in them. And so Satan took notice. Notice here in verse number 6. Well, a lot of you have this. Why don't you read it with me? Job 1 and 6. Here we go together. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. You notice that Satan has access to the presence of the Lord. And the devil basically says this, hey, I know you got a man down there that loves you, but if you give me permission, Lord, to strip him of all his wealth and all of his, you might say, possessions and everything that he has, why, they'll turn against you, because after all, he's wealthy and he does real well and he's doing fine and you've blessed him, but you put him down on the bottom and he'll turn against you. Now, the devil's a liar, but that's his premise, you say. And so God has this special thing in view. Now, it doesn't happen to everybody. And you'll find here in the book of Job that as it does happen to Job, as he's stripped of his wealth and stripped of his possession, and he has practically nothing, why, the devil says he'll serve me. But the devil's a liar. So God permits this to happen. Now, what happens to you would not be as bad as what happened to Job. You'll see that. But yet, we find that even one of Job's miserable comforters says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, and he's right in that. Now, they're basically wrong in many things, and you'll see that as we go along. And so we find here, in verse number 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? In other words, sure, look what's in it for him. He's the wealthiest man around. He has all these sons and daughters. And yes, he has all these animals and so forth. Now, we don't have many animals around Gardena like this. I suppose if we bring it up to date, it'd be like the Chevy agency. They don't seem to be going broke these days selling Chevrolets. But at any rate, that's Job. So God gives him this permission. And we notice in verse number 12, it says this, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So, okay, you can strip him of his wealth. You can strip him of what he has. Only you cannot kill him. Now, the Lord says he'll still serve me when he's on the bottom. You know the Apostle Paul? The Bible says he loved and served the Lord when he was on the top. He learned how to be both abased and abound. When you're on the bottom, you're abased. And when you're on the top, you're having everything going your way. Paul was in jail and loved the Lord, sang praises at midnight in Philippi. I walked all around Philippi when I was in the U.S. Merchant Marine. I mean, he was on the bottom, you see. His back was beaten in a bloody mess, and still he loved and served God. He and Silas there cried out, singing praises to the Lord at midnight in the jail. Well, that's a base. And when you're on the top and everything's going right, the job's good and the money's flowing in and so forth, that's abound, you say. So Job was certainly in the abound mode. Now remember, this is all before. So we find here that he's stripped of his wealth and his possessions here. And we read about that in chapter number 1. There's a lot of verses here. Let's take a look at verse number 16. And we'll look at that one here together. Let's read it together, 1:16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and have burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." So Job is stripped of his possessions here. The Lord permits it, but the devil does it. Notice in verse number 20, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." He worshipped God. He worshipped God when he was on the top. He worshipped God when he was on the bottom. And by the way, that's why we want to come to church, to worship God. If the music's bad, and it's not, it's some of the best music I've heard in months and months and months and months, you still come to worship God. If the sermon's not so hot, you still come to worship God. And so we find here, Job worshipped. And notice what he says here. He says in verse 21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You heard about the rich man, he died. And people said, how much did he leave, you know? That's always the question. Was it 1 million or 3 million or 5 million? The answer comes back, he left it all. And that's right. That's right. When you die, if you're saved, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord, which is far better. But you don't pull a U-Haul into heaven with you, do you? And if you die and you're lost and you end up in hell, in hellfire, why, you lose it all. That's right, when you die, you don't take your possessions with you. Now, if that is not bad enough, now, we've looked at Job here in the beginning, and now we get into Job here in the problems and so forth, the second part of our message. It gets worse in verse number 7 of chapter number 2. "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot until his crown." So he had boils from his head to his feet, all over his body. Now, listen, if you get one boil, that's one too many, believe me. He's got them all over here. And so he's suffering physically. And notice here what he does in verse 8. "He took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes" here. And yes, it does get worse. Notice here in verse number 9. This is a sad thing. Life's dearest, closest companion, his wife, turns against him. And notice what happens here in verse 9 of chapter 2. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Now, his integrity is his basic spiritual position before the Lord. He loved the Lord. He gave sacrifices when he had a lot. He still loves the Lord. And he tells her off, and he tells her off good, and she needs it. Notice what he said in verse 10. He said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. So we've seen the before, and this is some of the during, some of the suffering that Job receives. Now, they're tremendous lessons for us that are here this morning on this 4th of July. And we find here, Job does not give in, and Job does not sin. His wife turns against him. He's got boils all over his body. He's lost his possessions, and yet he still loves the Lord. Yes, the Bible says, "Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, we find he has three friends here, and they come to see him. And that's given in verse 11. There's Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Naamanite. And of course, we find, well, it's Zophar the Naamanite, and Bildad the Shuhite. And so the three friends come to see him. Now, they're not very good friends. I mean, they mean well, but their basic premise is wrong. And they're basically saying, Job, you're suffering because of your sin. And that is not Job's problem. They're the kind of people, you know, you're sick in bed, and they come and they sit on the end of the bed. Well, they ought not to do that. And they say, you look real sick. Looks like you're going to die in about 10 minutes, you know. And they mean well, but their premise is wrong. They're saying, Job, your trouble is your sin. And that's not Job's trouble at all. Not at all here. And notice here their premise in chapter 4 and verse number 8. It says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. So Job, you're suffering because of your sin, and that's not the case. Matter of fact, this shows you no matter how bad things are, and you might lose some money, your wife might turn against you, different things can happen, you see. You can still love the Lord and come out on top. Yes, you can be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, as we read in 1 Corinthians there in the Bible. And so their premise is wrong. Now, like I say, not everything they say is wrong. And this takes up most of the book of Job. For instance, chapter 5 and verse 7, this is Eliphaz, one of these three friends. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now, you just can't avoid it, you say. I mean, it's here, you're in the world, and we find that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, so everything doesn't go smooth. People misunderstand you, people lie about you, and things happen. And so they do. And so Eliphaz has the right thing here, but basically his premise is wrong. And that takes up most of the book of Job. Now, you have a lot of interesting things in Job here. A lot of interesting truths. For instance, chapter number 7 and verse number 6. And these are just a few things as we go along through the book. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. In other words, the days fly along real quick. And they do. And they go. And it seems like the older you get, the quicker they go there, and so forth. Now, like I say, Job mentions here in chapter number 7, in verse number 20, he says, I have sinned. He comes out. He's not perfect, you say. He's complete in the Lord, but he's not sinlessly perfect, and neither is anybody in the world today. That's why we need a Savior. You think of that verse. Which is a very common verse, 6 and 23 of Romans. For God's, Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So your sin and my sin will be paid for. Now, we can pay for it ourselves with our own death and ending up in hell and hellfire, like we read in the book of Revelation, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, speaking of eternal punishment for the wicked. God will accept that, but that's not the best way. That's the first way. The wages of sin is death. But the last part of the verse says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's the best way to have your sin paid for, by Jesus. We sing a song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He, Christ, washed it white as snow. And so you come to Jesus and receive Him as your own personal Savior from your own personal sins. And yes, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood in Hebrews, there is no remission, no taking away of sin. And so you receive Jesus, and Jesus pays for your sin. All we like sheep have gone astray, we read in Isaiah. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that's the Lord God Jehovah, have laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So all your sin and all my sin was put on the Lord Jesus. And so receive Him as your Savior. And so Job, we'll see Job in heaven. Job knows the Lord. And Job has a rough time, but he comes through real good. Now, the Bible's not a textbook on science, but whenever it speaks on science or in any subject, it's absolutely accurate and without error and correct. And notice the scientific subject here, chapter 8 and 16. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. Job 8:16. And so you'll have what to hear? The sunlight acting on the plant life, and it's green. We see some of it out the window here in this lovely, beautiful auditorium. Green before the sun, chlorophyll and all the rest. I mean, you study this even in high school and biology and so forth there. But listen, Job's one of the oldest books in the Bible. And here we have it about 1,500 years before Jesus was born. It talks about the sun operating on the plant life and it's green. You know, you put a board out there and it's a lovely lawn and hot weather and so forth. And to leave it there for a month, and pretty soon it's all brown and decayed and going away. Now, like I say, that's not a great truth, is it? We know that. But boy, it was a great truth 1,500 years before Jesus was born, see? The Bible is always correct. When it speaks on a scientific subject, when it speaks on any subject, it's accurate, it's correct. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable, it's accurate, it's correct. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we have, yes, man wrote it, but God looked over their shoulders, so to speak, to see that the very word they wrote was the word God wanted in the good book. I mean, not just the thoughts, but the very words are inspired of God. Oh, God uses their personality. Moses wrote different than Ezekiel. Ezekiel wrote different than Daniel. Daniel wrote different than Paul. Their personality is used, but in the final analysis, it's like God looked over their shoulder and saw that the very word they wrote was the word God wanted in the Holy Bible. We're thankful for America on this day of freedom, this day of independence here. And we're thankful for the opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now let's take a look at another one of these because they run through the book of Job. Verse 25 and verse of 9. 9 and 25 chapter. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as swift ships, as the eagle that hasteneth to the prey. And so the days go very, 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 very quickly, you see. And it's amazing, you know. I can remember some things that happened to me. I remember how I used to climb freight cars in the railroad yard as a boy and so forth. And I can't remember what happened 3 days ago. The days flee away, and they go so quickly, indeed. Especially short-term memory here. Okay. Now, Job tells these people off, and they need it. They need it. Notice what he says here. Chapter 13 and verse 4. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. They claim to help him, you see, but they really don't. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be to your wisdom. To me, the Bible has a lot of funny things in it, Pastor Anderson. You know? Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be to your wisdom. It's just about like we would say, keep your big mouth shut, and people won't find out how really stupid you are, you say. Well, that's what Job's saying to these people there, because they're wrong. Their premise is wrong. And notice what Job says here. He tells them off in chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. And Job answered and said, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Boy, that's a put down, isn't it? That's really a slam, and they really need it. Hey, you people are so brilliant, you know. When you're dead, there won't be any more wisdom left in the world. Well, of course, we had a lesson about that today and had all of these new English terms, some of them I never knew before, but your pastor had figured them out and given definitions. By the way, that's why you want to come to Sunday school, you see. Hey, that's a good deal. You get a double header, you know that? You just come a little earlier. Now, I hope you come back tonight, but if you come back tonight, you got to make a special trip, right? But you come to Sunday school and church, you get a double header, you only have to make one trip. See, that's a good deal. You ought to get in on that every Sunday morning. And it was really good there. I sure learned a lot. I learned a lot from the Bible, and I even learned some English I never got in college there. But at any rate, notice what Job says here. He's true to the Lord. And in verse 15 of chapter 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. So God, if you kill me, I'll still love you. I might not understand it all, might not understand why all these things happen, but you see, as they happen in Job's life, and as they happen in your life, it makes you more of a spiritual person. These things are not pleasant, and Job would not ordinarily wish them upon himself or anybody else, but they come. And as it happens, you come through, and you come through tried as gold, and you come through the experiences which are not pleasant, trusting the Lord more. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Notice Job at chapter number 16 here. Job 16 and verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. And they are miserable, miserable comforters. Now, Job, we find, believed in the resurrection of the body. Now, it's a New Testament message, naturally. Jesus died just as dead could be, but He didn't stay dead. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Testament as well as New Testament. Chapter number 19 and verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Yeah, the worms will eat me up and eat my body up, just be a few bones left, but I know I'll see God. See, this is a miracle, but the Bible's full of miracles. Virgin birth is a miracle. Jesus alive in heaven is a miracle. Jesus the Son of God is a miracle. Came into this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, Job believed in the resurrection of the body. An Old Testament message as well as a New Testament message. Now here again, we have some scientific statements. This is 26 and 7. This is before, during, and after. This is during. During the time that Job talks with these three friends, and the three friends talk to him. But they're miserable comforters. They're not super duper good friends. 26 and 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and he hangeth the earth upon nothing. You see that? That's gravity, you see. I mean, we know about that today. And the gravitational pull, you know, you throw a ball up and it comes down, right? Don't keep going up to the moon, does it? But that's gravity. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. Listen, they had all crackpot ideas in the past. One of them, there was a big strong man. He kept the earth on his back. That's a crackpot idea, isn't it, boy? But notice what God says and what Job gives us to hear. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. Gravity, you see. He bindeth up the waters in the thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. Condensation, you see. And there's another scientific fact. The sun beating on the water goes up, and it keeps it up there for a while in the clouds. And, of course, it doesn't rain for a while. And if the clouds want to keep it, they can keep it, or they can release it here. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, 26 and 8, and the cloud is not rent under them. So Job talks to these people, and he finds that they give the wrong idea. And notice what he says in chapter number 27 and verse number 5. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. Now his integrity is his basic spiritual standing before God. And he says, until I die, I'm not going to back up. And I'm not going to give in to Satan. And that devil's a liar. And the devil, you know, he always comes around with something there. And well, you know, you wouldn't steal for $10, the devil says, and that's probably right. You wouldn't steal for $1,000. You wouldn't steal for $500,000. This is the devil's lie. But yet, if you make that $5 million, you would steal. But there are many, many people that wouldn't steal for $500 million. The devil's always a liar. And so we find here, Job comes through here as gold. And that's good. I sort of like gold, these greenbacks. When I was a boy, we'd get a Pepsi-Cola for a nickel, but those days are going forever, don't you think, Don? So they have gone forever. Okay, now let's look at another one of these of Job here. This is 38 and 22. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? 38 and 22. Now, where I live, we have a lot of snow. Colorado. I mean, that's the big resort. Ski area, Steamboat Springs, Colorado. They fly into the airport there. The airport's only 3 miles from Hayden, where I live, and they fly nonstop from Cincinnati. They fly nonstop from Atlanta. They fly nonstop from Minneapolis and Chicago and so forth. You got to stop if you go from L.A. at least now, just one stop. But big area, lots and lots and lots of snow. Many, 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 many feet of snow where I live. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Now, I'd never used a snowblower until I moved to Colorado, but we have one in our church, and they introduced me to Mr. Snowblower. And it works pretty good. Works pretty good. It's easier on the back than the shovel, I'll tell you that. Well, at any rate, each snowflake is lovely and unique and beautiful. And they, of course, can capture the snowflake and freeze them. And you've probably seen pictures of them. And they're unique and beautiful. And we don't think of treasures of the snow as we shovel it. But they're lovely indeed. And that's what Job says. A scientific fact there in the book of Job. Now, we notice here, toward the end of Job, that the last chapter is chapter number 42. And notice what it says here concerning this in verse number 7. This is, you might say, the end, before, during, and after. This is the after. Job 42 and 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. You're wrong, you three fellas, and Job is right. And we notice down here in verse number 10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So it was just like a test case. And in the end, Job came through with flying colors, and the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. In verse number 12 of 42, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. So this was a test, and Job came through fine. Now, you can't have more bad things happen to you than Job. And if Job made it, you can make it too. I'm not saying you won't have many bad things happen or some bad things happen, because things, as we already said, do go wrong. You have financial reverses. People misunderstand you. Sometimes we have a rising tide of divorce in our land today, and all of this is a sad, sad situation. But Job had more in the end than in the beginning. In verse 15, in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, their best-looking girls all around, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren, and Job lived to a ripe old age and finally died. Verse 16, and after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons and even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So Job came out on the top, and Job came out the victor, and the devil lost, and the devil's people lost, and Job came out the winner. Now, in closing, how to be a winner? Well, you need to know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior from your own personal sin. Let me give you this illustration. 16 years old, I joined the United States Merchant Marine. I went to Philippi, Greece. I walked all around Philippi. I went to Corinth, Greece. I walked all around Corinth. I stood on Mars Hill where Paul preached to the Athenians. In time past, God winked at sin, now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I stood in Philippi where the message was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Philippian jailer said, of course, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I walked all over Corinth. Listen, 16 years old, I believe Jesus was in heaven. Listen, 16 years old, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. But I'll tell you something, if I died at 16, I would have ended up in hell and hellfire. Why? Because I believe historic facts with my mind. What's the Bible say? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. At 18, I was convicted of my sin. You take those 10 commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I told a whole bunch of lies. I was awakened to my sin. I was convicted of my sin. And I came to Jesus and I was converted. Except ye be converted and become as little children, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. At 18, it was personal. At 18, I made it personal. I received Jesus as my own personal Savior from my own personal sins. And there's a lot of people miss heaven by about 18 inches, the difference between their brain and their heart. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, you folks know that the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches has a very, very fine doctrinal statement. I believe it. It's about 20 points. It's good. It's good. But you know what? You can believe all that in your head and still be lost and still end up in hell. You have to make it personal. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, at 16 I believed a lot of facts. At 18 I still believed those facts, but I came to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Take away my sin. Save my soul. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. I've broken a lot of those 10 commandments. Yes, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.